97.5, The Fanatic.
Pleasant Sunday evening to you and yours. Hope you're staying safe, happy, and healthy. And welcome into 97.5 The Fanatic. For another run, I'm Tyler Zulli. Across the glass, we're in the same building this time. It's Tom Alvord, our producer and co-host today for this evening. We take you until 10 o'clock, fresh off the heels of another very entertaining show from Hunter Brody and Matt Menark. Good job by those guys. It's been an entertaining day for Sixers fans. We have a lot to get into and only 3 hours to do so. So why don't we jump right into things? And by the way, the number to join the conversation today, as it is every day, is 610-632-0975. Quote, the Sixers gave up too much in the James Harden deal. Quote, I did not want to give up Seth Curry. Quote, the 76ers got fleeced in this deal. All three of those things are things that I've heard over the last 2.5, 3 weeks. Some from local fans, the last one by Stephen A. Smith. All of those things, two games in, are factually inaccurate. They were factually inaccurate when the Sixers made the trade. They were factually inaccurate before the Sixers made the trade. And now they're complete fallacy. I do not care what production Ben Simmons gives the Nets, nor do I care what production Seth Curry or Andre Drummond give the Nets. What I do care about is the tangible production that James Harden has provided for the Sixers over the course of the last 3 days. And what I expect, despite the fact, I should say, that the Sixers' last two opponents defensively have not been very strong the last two out of the last three nights. But another 8 of 14. We talked about efficiency last night. Another efficient performance from James Harden. 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. Perfect from the free throw line. 29 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists. A triple-double in his second game as a Sixer. And the first Sixers player in team history to have that triple-double plus 5 steals. What we have witnessed from James Harden over the last 2 days is everything that we have been hoping for and more. He has aided Joel Embiid. He has made Tyrese Maxey a better player. He has found Matisse Thybul in spots that has led to efficiency. The only player thus far that has not been the beneficiary of the benefactor that is James Harden has been Tobias Harris. And we will get to Tobias Harris in just a moment, because Tom, our producer and co-host today, feels strongly in one direction about the Tobias Harris conversation that had been taking place over the last 72 hours. It was safe to say then, it is safer to say now, that even 2 games into the James Harden era, if you will, the 76ers won that trade. Are there worries about the future? Sure there are. Does he re-sign? If he does, what's it going to be like paying a guy $60 million at the age of 37 when we're not sure if he can play? How about the fact, misguided factual statement, actually, in fact, fallacy, but a narrative that is driven, quote, James Harden shrinks come playoff time. Statistically, that's false. However, it is factually accurate to say at this point, just 2 games in to his tenure with the Sixers, and it was prior, but it's definitely factually accurate now, to say that the 76ers won this trade. What James Harden has provided the Sixers, and again, albeit against two teams whose defensive efforts over the course of 96 minutes of basketball were not stellar, I wouldn't even call them strong. In fact, I'd probably call them lackluster at best. The Timberwolves are not a good defensive team, period. And New York today, who was a really good defensive team a season ago, have been much worse this year and were not very good today. With all of that being said, what James Harden has created for this team, has allowed to Joel Embiid to create for this team, has risen the play of Tyrese Maxey, has helped Matisse Thybulle be open in spots, has found George Niang, has created opportunities for the bench players when he is out there with them. What James Harden creates, and we talked about this yesterday, both for himself and for this team, has almost been immeasurable just two games into his tenure. And so, tonight, as we talk about transparency on this show, as we do often, I want to hear from those that felt that the Sixers gave up too much for James Harden. And two games in, I want to know if your thought process has changed. And for those processes that have not changed, I would like to know a simple yet poignant question. Why? What is still holding you back? What has held you back to this point that made you uncomfortable with this trade? And to the Stephen A. Smiths of the world, who said, quote, the Sixers got fleeced in this trade, I just want to know how. Tonight was another example of what James Harden can provide for this team and what this team can provide for James Harden. 610-632-0975, that's the number to join the conversation tonight. The second thing that we're going to get into today. I've seen this a lot on Twitter. And we talk about the transparency thing. This is where I get transparent with you and I tell you the truth. I have seen a lot on Twitter today. The Sixers are going to be unwatchable. The product that the Sixers are putting on the floor is unwatchable because they get to the free throw line so many times. They took 44 free throws today. And I use that voice to give you a little bit more feel.
It's a good voice. I like that voice.
Little bit of a personality to that conversation. There were 75 free throws attempted today, 44 of which came from the 76ers. I am going to tell you this in transparency. When James Harden was with the Houston Rockets and when James Harden was with the Brooklyn Nets, I did not enjoy watching James Harden hunt for free throws. I understood why he did it, but I didn't enjoy watching it. With that being said, this James Harden and the hunt for free throws and this Joel Embiid and the hunt for free throws, I think is slightly different than the Houston Rockets hunt for free throws. And let me explain to you why. When I watched the last two games and I watched Joel Embiid and I watched James Harden, the two of them are creating contact. They're initiating it because they're putting their bodies and they're putting their positioning in spots where they know that they are going to get the defender out of position. Their feet are not going to be set and they're going to get the block. And then they're going to get to the free throw line. I never had an issue with that with James Harden. And of course, you never have an issue with it from Joel Embiid because he plays for the team that you root for. The issue that I had with James Harden, with Trae Young, with guys like that, even Steph Curry to an extent did it, was the create contact unnaturally. When your body is taking you towards the rim and you create contact with the defender, they're there to stop you. But immovable object meets the unstoppable force, something's got to give, right? And in that particular instance, the creation of contact is to get towards the rim. The creation of contact that I did not like when I watched those guys play was the side jump, the leg kick, the fall backwards into the trailing defender. That I felt was illegitimate creation of contact. That felt to me like you were doing that because the league allowed you to do it. Now, I don't blame you for doing it because the league allowed you to get away with it. They've cracked down on that pretty substantially over the course of this season. And the difference in that free throw creation from Harden and Embiid seems to be, now there's times where, like there was a video today where Joel Embiid, first he walked, then he threw an elbow into Jericho Sims' face, and then he got the free throws afterwards. he shouldn't have gotten them, but it's the creation of contact from a superstar player. That's the difference to me. So I have seen a lot of angry Nets fans. I've seen a lot of NBA fans over the course of the last, 4 hours or so, complain about the way that the Sixers have played over the last two nights. And in the transparent nature of this show, I understand their frustrations. Because I didn't like it when Harden did it. I don't like it when Trae Young does it. I didn't like it when Steph Curry did it. But it was a different creation of contact. On the outside looking in, I understand your frustrations. Because I have said time and time again that if Joel Embiid didn't play for the Sixers, I promise you I would not like Joel Embiid. Because he's that irritant. He's that guy that other fan bases don't like. Because he's great. He knows he's great. And he can go out and accomplish things with ease. And he gets the calls now. I understand other fan bases not enjoying or wanting to watch Joel Embiid or the Sixers play, especially with James Harden, when they're taking 44 free throws. I am here to tell you, however, grow up. Because this is how this team is going to play. And this is how this team is going to win. And I promise you one thing. I will tell you right now that the way that they're doing it would annoy me if I were not a Sixers fan. I get that. That's the transparent statement of the day. I understand your frustrations, but grow up. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. Before we get to the phones, we start with Eric and Nate and John and everybody else on the phone lines. I want to welcome in our second member of the program today, producer and co-host Tom Alvord. Tom, first and foremost, good evening. And second, after you've seen now game two of James Harden, simple question. How could anybody be against this trade at this point?
Hello, Tyler. How's it going this evening? How you feeling?
We're doing well.
Doing good?
Yeah. I still got that giddy feeling. I still have that like honeymoon trade feeling where it's obviously still fresh. It's just game two and things have clicked. And it makes me excited.
Tyler, we had a show yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
We did.
Yesterday, I said to you how I'm trying to temper my expectations, how this is the other night, Friday night, was extremely fun, and you saw the spurts of potential that this team could be. But I knew it was the Timberwolves, and I know today was the Knicks. I'm trying to temper my expectations. I'm trying not to look too far ahead. It's really hard to, Tyler, because that was a lot of fun once again. Now, was it as aesthetically pleasing as that Timberwolves game? No. 75 free throws in an NBA game in 48 minutes isn't going to be the most aesthetically pleasing game you will see. However, this basketball team, this Sixers basketball team, continues to prove to us that they are a real team. They have a legit chance at an NBA Finals. And that's all we can ask for, and that's why we won the trade, Tyler. It's because we got rid of a guy who was never going to play. We got rid of a guy who was not going to sign back here in the offseason, his free agent, and Andre Drummond after the season. And we got rid of a guy in Seth Curry who is a really nice player, and I like Seth Curry. I do. But this is James Harden we're talking about. And pairing James Harden with Joel Embiid, the MVP favorite, and they said it many times today on the broadcast, Doris Burke and Mark Jones, I believe it was.
Yes.
Yes, Mark Jones. Many times that he's the MVP favorite. When you pair those two guys together, that gives you a chance at the NBA Finals, and that's all that matters. I'm not worried about 2027 picks. I'm not worried about the contract at age 37, because if I get an NBA Finals from these two players in this run, I don't care. And the best part about this basketball is it's must-watch TV right now, Sixers game. Everybody wants to watch the Sixers play right now. Even casual NBA Sixers fans want to watch this team play because of the potential and because of the dominance of these two players. So I need all of you out there, driving in your car, listening on the app, whatever you may be doing, go online, print out the Sixers' remaining schedule, or just have it in front of you, write it on your calendar or write it on your phone, and set an alarm or set a reminder, because you should be watching every single Sixers game from here on out, because this is a legit team who is going to give us a hell of a fun spring coming up.
And let me add one further detail. With the trade of James Harden, with the way that this team does, in fact, and I'm not going to shy away from it. It's not like they're hiding from it, and it's not like I'm defending it entirely. But I understand that it's the way that they're going to play. With the way that this team hunts for free throws, and they bogged the game down. And Joel Embiid tonight alone took 27 free throw attempts. The way that they play this game is irritable to other fans. And the way that they play this game, especially if they continue to win at a high percentage clip, other fans are going to hate the Sixers. And I will tell you this right now, as Stephen A., we mentioned Stephen A. Smith earlier, as Stephen A. Smith said, we don't care. Embrace the villain role, Sixers fans. I promise you that's where this is headed. We, as fans, are going to be the villain. The Sixers are going to be the team that the national fan, right, the other 29 teams do not want to see win. I promise you that. Embrace the villain role. It's here, and you're not getting away from it, so you might as well embrace it. 610-632-0975, that's the number to join the conversation. Why don't we start in South Philly tonight? We'll talk to Eric on the Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for making the call.
Oh, man, the team is just so fun to watch.
They are.
You know, very few times you make one trade, and to me, your two biggest weaknesses turn to your two biggest strengths. Like, we had no half-court offense was done, and the zone can be used against us.
Sure.
What NBA team does the zone work against? But we finally have somebody that can make a good entry pass. You know, everybody was talking about, you know, when James get here to, you know, Tobias is going to be good. He's going to make Tobias better. Okay, cool. We ain't talk much about how he's going to make Maxey better. Like, Maxey is so much more efficient. You know, the last two games, his numbers are crazy. You know, so, man, it's a good feeling. And those talking about we lost the trade, how can you lose the trade when you get the best player? It's impossible.
That's the thing to me, right? And here's the deal. I'm not a believer in teams need to use the term fleece, right? I'm not a big believer in you have to fleece another team. You can win a trade and the other team also get good players, right? When it comes to trades, it's objectively true that Ben Simmons is a good basketball player. He might be a flawed basketball player, but he's a good basketball player. I think the Nets got more depth. I think that they, I don't know if the team as a whole got better, but they got more depth that they needed. And it's fair to say the Nets came out of that trade, especially when Simmons plays, in a decent spot. But you're correct. The best player in that trade is, no doubt about it, James Harden. He makes the team better. The team makes him better. The pair the two, just he and Joel Embiid. And like you take a look at some of the stuff that he ran today, the pick and roll with Embiid. And we're going to get to the comments about Embiid not being able to roll, which I think are ridiculous.
He's doing shot rolls. Like, I mean, I don't like it, to be honest. I remember playing high school ball. I wanted my big man to roll hard.
Sure.
But, you know, he's able to hit the elbow jumper. He's able to hit the free throw jumper. You're allowed to do that if you're skilled enough, you know. So you can't really get mad at that.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is, too? Like, we talk about the high pick, right? And then we immediately go, well, it's got to be the pick and roll. And what you just mentioned is so true, where it could be the pick and pop too, because he's got the elbow ability.
Exactly. You know, for everybody saying that, you know, more free throws is less entertaining of a game. I remember playing. That's the type of game I love to play. And you rest, you get to set your defense. It's more of a I'm better than you type of, you know, like you're not benefiting off mistakes. It's pure skill. This is pure ball. If you're better than the other team with their defense set, they get demoralized. You know, like you can't stop us. Talk about Embiid going to the line so much. The reason for that is you cannot stop him. Like he's either bigger than you or he's more skilled than you. Like it's obvious. If you can stop him, you won't foul him. Like period.
Sure.
So to me, it's a better game. Like I like it like that. They will play all this here and get to know how good your team is. Like, you're not out there making dumb mistakes, causing fast breaks.
And I understand that, like, from the fan base, and Eric, thanks so much for the phone call. Really appreciate you starting us off today. I understand that opposing fans are going to look at it. You're bogging the game down. You're taking the ball out of the best player's hands. Is like Eric said, he liked playing in that game. As a viewer, I'm not so sure I like watching that game. Like, I didn't like it when Harden did it. I just, you know, as a viewer, like I said, transparency. I will be honest with you. It doesn't make for the most palpable NBA game, but I will give up palpable for, or palatable, excuse me, not palpable. I'll give up palatable for victories. Because at the end of the day, all that matters to me is that this team wins. And so far, like we talked about, so far they've played two teams. One's a playoff team, one is not, that defensively are not unbelievably strong. That's fair to say. Last year, New York was unbelievably strong defensively. And they still fight you. And we're going to talk about the way that they played today, because I thought in spurts, the Knicks played really, really well. I thought Emmanuel Quickley in the second half got to the rim efficiently. I thought RJ Barrett was strong at times. We'll talk about the game, and we're not going to leave that out. But at the end of the day, the Sixers wore them out. And you could tell it, when the lead started to elongate later in the fourth quarter, the Sixers were the fresher team. And somebody put this up on Twitter, and I think they tagged some of our guys here at the station, and I got to try to find it. The Sixers had like 15 minutes of time at the free throw line. And what that equates to is extra time where you're not running up and down the floor. And I understand that it's not a timeout where you're getting, you know, some water and you're sitting on the chair and you're relaxing for a moment, you're listening to the play call of the ATO. But that's standing around this time that you're not going hard in the paint, you're not backing somebody down, you're not chasing somebody cross court. What that allows you to do is naturally kind of rest up. It's not the most palatable way to play the game, but victories are all that matter to me. And if they're going to get these victories, I'll take it. 610-632-0975. That's the number to join the conversation. Nate, Chris, John, Matt, Lori, Adam, we will get to all of you on the other side. Appreciate you all hanging with us through the first break. We're just getting started here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're going to continue the conversation about the Sixers victory and the continual presence of what James Harden does for this team. And Tom's got a couple of fun side topics for us today, so we'll dive into those in further detail as well. 610-632-0975. That's Tom Alvord. I'm Tyler Zulli. We take you until 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. That is the number for you to join the conversation. I'm Tyler Zulli, Tom Alvord producing the show. We are here until 10 o'clock tonight talking specifically about this James Harden. Not the trade, not the acquisition, but we are. But what he has done for this team over the last two games, the last 96 minutes of basketball, and so much more. Now, before we get back to the phones, Tom, you had an interesting question yesterday that we didn't get a chance to chat about on the show yesterday from 3 to 4 to 7, 3:30 to 7.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Well, we were at Parks from, you know.
No, not we.
I was at Parks.
That's better.
From 3:45-ish till 7 o'clock. And you had an interesting question that we didn't get a chance to get to. And, you know, we like to always have these fun side topic questions where they're maybe not sports related, and we kind of tie everything together. So if you want to, I'll let you have the floor to ask your question, and then we'll get to everybody on the phones.
Yeah, so obviously if you've listened to our show that we've done here the past, what, 5 months, I guess,
yeah,
you
a
could
few
say.
Months
we've
for
been
sure.
doing it on weekends now, yeah. We always like having side topics, as you mentioned, Ty. And, you know, we always try and think of it and bounce ideas back and forth to each other pre-show, texting each other, maybe the day before. And yesterday, so my girlfriend's away for the weekend. She's visiting some college friends. So I had the whole house to myself. It's awesome. Played video games, watched Sixers, drank beer. It was like I was 22 again. It was obviously, I'm glad she's back, missed her. But it was a great couple days of just relaxing, being mellow.
He says because she's listening.
She probably, yeah. Don't hate me. However, I didn't, because I, you know, just sat around and drank beer and played Xbox and watched Sixers Friday. I woke up Saturday. I'm like, all right, I got to be productive. I got to get something done around the house so I can feel somewhat, you know, responsible for something.
Okay.
And I looked at the microwave, and the microwave was filthy. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to clean out the microwave. Ty, cleaning out the microwave is one of the most underrated, crappy chores to do. Like, you have to bend sideways. No, because it's like lower.
It's
you
got
to get up top, and it's gross. It's all old stuff. And it's something that you can forget about because you don't look in your microwave all the time. You usually just throw food in there and press a button, you know?
Sure.
But when you really look at it, it can get dirty. And as I was doing it, I was just like, this is not fun at all. And I forgot how much this sucks. So I was thinking, what are other underrated, crappy chores to do? Chores that you just like, you don't do all the time, and it's not something that, you know, you really think about that often, but when you're doing it, you're like, wow, this sucks.
See, the separator for me is the way that you say, like, the ones you don't do all the time. Because the one that immediately came to my head was, I have never had a cat prior to moving in with my wife.
Yes.
In fact, we've never had, like, my dad and stepmom have dogs, right? But, like, I didn't live there all the time. So I can't say that it was like an everyday thing. This is the first time that every day I've had animals. I have a cat and a dog. And the one thing that I like will do everything in my power not to do is clean the cat's litter box.
Sounds horrible. Don't have a cat, but it sounds awful.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to try to keep this as like not gross as possible.
Appreciate it.
You have a dog.
I do.
You understand what comes with taking the dog for a walk, right?
And what happens when you feed the dog, yes.
Correct. You understand that.
I figure out what you're putting down.
You have to do that. Not that I love doing that either. That's pretty gross too. But there is something extra inherently gross about cleaning out the litter box. So that one to me is the first one that jumps out.
That's a good one. That is.
So to repeat Tom's question, and I know we're kind of springing it on all of our callers here, but what is that task, that chore that you just hate doing, that just really stinks? And it could be one that you do every day, like do the dishes. It could be one that you do once in a while, like clean the microwave. 610-632-0975. We'll go to Southwest. We'll talk to our guy Nate next in the Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
I hate cutting the grass. And then, you know, my wife, like, she on a time limit. Every Thursday, go ahead, you got to cut it. So, no. That's the pet peeve that I can't stand.
I feel you. So, I know we've had this conversation before. Then, are you a winter guy? Like, does that play into you being a winter versus a summer guy?
Well, absolutely. I'd rather deal with taking a snowblower and blowing the snow.
Okay.
Than I would cutting grass.
That was my next question, like the shovel versus the cut the grass.
Yeah, allergies kick in with the grass cutting.
Feel you on that one.
Yeah, I can't do it, man. But getting back to Sixers, bro. Don't this just seem like it's a match made in heaven?
It feels that way. I know it's only been 96 minutes of basketball, but it certainly feels that way.
Right. It just seems like this was the perfect match. And I'm thinking, like, if Daryl didn't have any type of bad blood with Houston leaving last year, and we could have got this kid last year, how far along we could have been by now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the one retort I will have to that, and I understand that what they got for Harden in Houston was not a very aesthetically awesome package, but I wonder would it have cost more a season ago?
Yeah, it probably would have cost you Maxie a season ago.
Right, and that's the big one.
Right, so, yeah, well, maybe that's the retort of that situation. But these dudes just, they're clicking on all cylinders, man, and I'm just enjoying what I'm seeing throughout the whole process of the situation, man. Like, this guy, you know, everybody was saying, well, how's the chemistry going to work? When you got a guy that knows how to put people in the right positions and where they're supposed to be, and hit them in right strides, chemistry comes automatic. You ain't got to worry about how long it's going to take them to have chemistry. You know what I'm saying? But the one thing for me is if you're Tobias Harris, you're hitting these open looks, bro. You got to knock these shots down. There's no way you can miss. If you get an open shot, you have to nail it. It's just, that's the only part I'm not liking right now. But I think he'll come around and he'll get to it. But it's always good to talk to you,
bro. Yeah, that with Tobias Harris, right? We talked about that yesterday. Tom and I did. And I said, I'm cool. He was two of six, I think, from being 2 of 8 or whatever it was from beyond the arc. And I'm cool with you know, a little bit of struggles because, like you said, they were great looks. They were open looks. And then, you know, it follows it up today with another kind of lackluster performance, if you will. It becomes certainly more worrisome if the trend continues. But, you know, two games to me, much like I'm not getting overly hyped about the two games, I'm also trying to not get overly frustrated about his two games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but
my thing is, I think if as long as he's there, by the time I start the playoffs, I'm okay.
And that's all. And, you know, I don't want to not take the next 22 games. I'm not taking them for granted. I'd love to get up into a 2 seed. Tom and I talked about that yesterday. But you're right. I feel like getting that chemistry down come playoff time, it seems like the phrase you use, match made in heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, my man, it's always good to talk to you. Talk to you this week, bro.
Yes, sounds good. Appreciate the phone call as always. Hopefully we'll talk to you maybe tomorrow. Devon and I will be back 6 to 10 tomorrow. Get a little full run. We don't get a full run often, so I'm excited about that.
Excited to listen.
But yeah, I think that Nate's right in that sentiment where it feels like it's a perfect match. And again, not even 100 minutes of basketball yet. Not Milwaukee or Chicago or Cleveland or Brooklyn even. A good team and a bad team, both who have had their defensive struggles. All of these things we are taking into consideration. It's why you don't hear Tom and I, you know, marking out our spot on Broad Street just yet. For June.
Not quite yet.
But all of these things that we've discussed are encouraging signs. They are leading towards bigger and better things even than what you've seen right now. And you hear James Harden after the game today, and he basically says, yeah, I know like 3 plays, and I'm just out there playing. Basically, he feels like he's like, I'm out there playing pickup ball, right? Because when you play pickup ball, at the gym, on the courts, whatever the case may be, you're not running plays. You're just playing basketball.
A lot of times you don't have the same teammates yet.
Right. Like, and think about it. When you're playing pickup ball, now it's not the same. I'm not totally comparing it, but it feels like that's how he feels, is that's kind of what they're at right now, is fret, like maybe game 3 of pickup, where you're with the same guys for a couple games. When you're playing a pickup game, Tom, what is the one, I guess, quote, play that you can run in pickup?
Usually the pick and roll.
Pick and roll. Yes. Precisely. And it's looked good already. And that's the thing, that's the jump start for me. That he doesn't know the plays. Let me rephrase that. Not that he doesn't know the plays. He hasn't gotten acclimated to the plays yet. They're still running pseudo freestyle stuff. And this is the result. That means it's only going to get better from there.
Well, and that's why I think we're having such a tough time tempering our expectations, as we mentioned today and both yesterday as well, is because it's not supposed to look this good and look this clean this early on. Yes, Minnesota's not a good team. Yes, the New York Knicks aren't a good team. Both of those games are road games. You've had, what, 4 practices, I think, since Harden's been here?
Something like that.
Like, it's not supposed to look this clean. Like, I knew there were going to be struggles, and we're seeing struggles with Tobias Harris. But for the most part, everything else is working fine. Like Maxey, I was worried about him overpassing and being too unselfish. No, he's quick trigger. He's still showing that elite quickness, getting to the lane with that floater. Even Matisse Thybulle, some of the backdoor screens and the athletic plays in transition that James Harden is creating with his playmaking. Like, it's just, like I said, it's looking too, a little bit too good to be true at this point. It's just, it's working too well. And as it should, when you have two top-tier players in James Harden and Joel Embiid.
And you mentioned Matisse Thybulle. That's a player that I want to get into a little bit later today. Because I texted you, myself, and Connor have a group chat that was kind of the remnants of the NFL Roundup show from this season. I want to get into what I texted you guys earlier today. Because you know that Connor is a huge Matisse Thybulle fan.
Maybe Matisse's biggest
and
fan.
And I have been very, very critical of him. So I want to get into what I texted you guys today positively about Matisse Thybulle. 610-632-0975. We go to John in the Poconos up next in the Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Doing well. Thank you for making the call.
Oh, no problem. Calling you from the snowy Poconos. Longtime Philly fan now. Been down there for years. Here's my thing. Yes, on the surface, it looks like we gave up a lot for the golden ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say is, and give me a chance to just share this.
Sure.
All right. So Harden kind of likens me to Michael Jordan back in the day when he made everybody else around him that much better of a player.
Okay.
Because of his intensity, his professionalism, and his talent. And Maxie, who no one expected to excel at this level so young, is starting to come to the forefront, kind of like a Scottie Pippen, all right? And again, I'm not saying they're going to be six-time champions or anything, but in the grand scheme of things, you can only have five guys on the court at a time. And with Simmons not being willing to be a part of that team, okay, you got a guy in Harden that will drain that shot when you need it. You got a guy that will rebound. You got a guy that will assist. You have an all-around player. Yes, I know he's older and costs probably a little bit more money next year, but you have an inside-out threat with him and Embiid, kind of like you had when back in the day when you had Jesus. Sorry, I'm showing my age now with memory, but when you had the group there in L.A.
Sure, I got what you're saying. And here's the thing, John.
With Jabbar and
Magic.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Here's your thing. You have made it, you know, very clear that you are also two games in, like tempering your expectations. But it is easy for us to also kind of start to put these comparisons together. And again, well, I've said this from the beginning. I don't know how this thing ends. I don't know if it ends in a parade down Broad Street. I don't know if it ends up with us being pissed off that they lost in the second round again. I really don't know how this thing ends, but it makes me feel more confident about it.
Unless there's an injury that occurs to Embiid or, you know, Harden, I don't see this team losing two or three games the rest of the year. I mean,
you mean in the regular season?
Yes, in the regular season.
That's incredibly difficult. They've got 22 games left to play. Going 20-2 or 19-3, especially with the rest of the schedule that they've got coming up, where they've still got Milwaukee and Brooklyn, Miami, Chicago, both LA teams, Phoenix. And I know that Chris Paul's not playing. But 20-2 is going to be really, really difficult to achieve.
Well, write it down. You heard it from here first.
All right, we'll take it. We'll take it.
And how confident I am.
If it happens at the end of the regular season, I want you to call Tom and I back, and I will let you gloat, and you can tell me I told you so, and we will give you all your time.
How about instead of that, you give me a ticket to the NBA championship game?
Hey, I'm trying to find some NBA. I'm going to get some NBA playoff tickets too. I got nothing for you, unfortunately, John. Thanks so much for the phone call. Really appreciate you joining us tonight. Tom, and again, we're tempering. He said he's tempering his expectations. 20-2 or 19-3 that's going to be. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Unbelievably difficult to obtain.
Yeah, because there's still going to be some rough patches. There's still going to be some up and downs. There's going to be games where Embiid's off or certain. They're not getting certain foul calls called for them as they've been getting these last two games. And we've mentioned it a bunch, Ty. Like, Timberwolves and Knicks, they're no juggernauts. This isn't the 1990 Bulls. They're middle-of-the-pack teams, I guess you could say. But this schedule that the Sixers have coming up gets pretty difficult towards, you know, March and April. I mean, we've said it before. The Cavaliers, Heat, Bulls, Nets, you play them all in a row. Then you go to the Nuggets, Cavaliers, Mavericks, Raptors, Heat, all four in a row. Clippers, Suns, Bucks, back-to-back, and the Clippers aren't very good. Suns, Bucks, back-to-back.
But back to anytime you got a back-to-back, things get a little wonky at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know,
these are good basketball teams, and we still don't quite know what the Sixers are to this extent until they play some of these top-tier teams. We think we know. We don't know for sure until we see it.
That's why next week and in 2 weeks, it's going to be a big-time tell of what this team can really be. Remember yesterday, we were talking about back-to-backs, and I said to you, why is the line so low in the Atlanta-Toronto game?
Yes.
And you said, maybe it's just because Atlanta stinks. And you're not wrong. Atlanta's not a good basketball team. But do you know what the final score of that game was yesterday with Toronto coming off a back-to-back? The Hawks won 127-100. They won by 27 points. Trae Young went off for 41 points last night. Weird things. Let me follow it up with this question. Are the Raptors better than the Hawks? Like inherently better?
Inherently, I would say.
I think they are.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I think
the record says so, but.
I think they're better than the Hawks, even with, with Trae and Capella and all that. I think they are.
Okay.
Coming off a back-to-back where you're in the second city in two nights, you lost game one of a back-to-back. There is that portion of the team that you go, I just want to get home, man. And it showed last night. They lost by 27 to a team that even on the road, I feel like is an inferior team than them. The point being is weird things can happen when you got a back-to-back. I'm not saying that they're worse than any of the teams they're playing on a back-to-back, but weird things happen. 610-632-0975. Chris in the Northeast up next in the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well. Appreciate you making the call.
Thanks a lot for having me. I just want to keep the conversation going. I'm not going to, start talking about a championship, but I do think that, Harden gives us the best shot. I think with all of the different trade scenarios we talked about before the trade and even after the trade, what we could have had, I think when you look at just the first two games after watching the Sixers over the last couple seasons under Doc Rivers, James Harden just fits right in. Like one of the callers said, I mean, when you have a player that good, I mean, the playbook, you can throw it out, come down, run pick and roll. You have two guys that on any given night, can give you 40. So I think, outside of KD, LeBron, maybe Dame, I think, there's no other trade that would have fit better than James Harden. And I think, you brought up, Tyrese Maxey and Matisse Thybulle.
I think
that playing with James Harden, I think that both of those guys will benefit because when you have a superstar on your team, the pressure is off of you. All you got to do is be in the right spots, play D.
Make the right place.
Thybulle will get more open shots. He'll get more opportunities. So now he'll start to see some go down. And even today, he just seemed like he played with more. He just had a bounce to him, and I think you just see it with, Maxey and Thybulle and all of those guys just having heart, and I think, their confidence is boosted now. Looking at Tobias, man, he has to step up. I think he's going to be the determining factor. I watched the Brooklyn game last night and watching them play the Bucks. Our Harden and Embiid, they're going to do what they do. Like, we know what they're going to give us. You see two games playing with each other. Look at their numbers. I think it comes down to Tobias Harris having to be that consistent third option, for us to, be able to compete with those teams in the playoffs and win those series.
Do you think he needs to be three? Because I think at this point, I don't even know if he needs to be three. If Maxey keeps playing this way,
Yeah. And Tobias just needs to be, he's the vet. He needs to be just more consistent. Maybe with the way Maxey's playing, that consistent three, but you know how it is in the playoffs. And, Maxey's been there a little bit last year. But we need Tobias to
step up. You want your veterans to step up.
On both ends of the floor, not just on offense, on defense as well. But, I'm not going to say championship, but after watching these two games, Harden gives us the best chance to get to the championship. And I'm confident that, they stay healthy. I think that they can get there.
I don't disagree. Chris, before we let you go, do you have you got that chore? That just like mundane chore that you hate doing?
Honestly, man, I'm a go. So I got a couple daughters and I'm married. So, you know, I don't really do too many chores, man. I go to work every day. So that's the chore for me, but I'm with you on the litter, man. I got to take out, you know, I clean the litter boxes. Sometimes honestly, I forget about it. And literally now I have to put a mask on because I hate the smell. and then you gotta get the double trash bags because the litter is heavy.
Right. Bags of right.
And, man, but yeah, I definitely hate taking out the litter, but, hey man, you know, listen, my parents, I'm old school, so I had to do chores like every weekend. So, you know, I'm used to it, man, but, I don't really got to do too much. Cause like I said, I got the kids and the wife that pretty much handles everything else.
Chris, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for joining us. 610-632-0975. That double bag thing is so true. Cause it's hefty, right? Like.
So you don't want to break it.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is as gross as it is in the, like we got, he's got like, our cat's got like a little home litter box, right? It's like a dome almost.
It's a nice life.
And it's, oh yeah, he lives a great life. He sleeps like 18 hours a day. He's a menace for the other six. Like he's living his best life. But like when you put the litter in, it's light. It's just beads and some smelling stuff, you know, good smelling stuff and stuff like that. But as it gets used, it gets substantially heavier. It's, yeah, you definitely got to go with the double bag.
I'm a dog person regardless. But like when we lived in Philly, my girlfriend and I didn't want to get a dog then because I didn't feel like taking it out in Philly. We lived on the third floor of an apartment, tiny apartment. I was like, dogs,
that's
not,
tough.
We're not ready yet.
That's tough.
We ended up getting one when we moved out of the city and had a yard. So that was nice. But like we debated getting a cat and we were pretty close to it. But the litter and the litter box and changing the litter box was a big factor in us not getting it.
So we have the way our apartment is set up. It's a blessing and a curse with the dog because we are right by the outside door. So it's easy access to get her in and out.
It's perfect.
It's
yeah.
easy. The problem is everybody else comes through the door and it freaks her out at all hours of the night.
Not as great.
610-632-0975. That's the number to join the conversation. One of the things that Chris brought up when he says, you know, we've talked about tempering the expectations, but one of the things that Chris brought up was what this could do for Maxie and Thibault. We talked about Maxie a little bit yesterday. I want to get into the Thibault side of things in the 8 o'clock hour. And also too, we do have to talk about Tobias Harris because again, two struggle games, 18 points in two games from your highest paid player. However, Tom believes that we should walk it back a little bit. I'll let him explain, and we'll talk about that more on the other side as well. Drew, Adam, Rob, we want to get to all of you on the other side. If you don't mind hanging through the break, you will be the first three up, and then it can be you at 610-632-0975. That's the number to join the conversation. That's Tom Alvord. I'm Tyler Zulli. We take you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.